you find that in your scriptures and then stand for the reading of the Word of God. I was looking at that DVD right there, and I was thinking to myself, you know, only God could put all that together to make a Bible. Man ain't that, can't be that smart to put all that machinery together. It has to be God did that. Put this here, son. Put this here, daughter. And put that there, boy. And put this here. And it's, that had to be God do that. What a ministry. Praise the Lord for it. Well, last night we looked at Abram. And we seen what God did with Abram. Our questions, you know, what happened and why and what God do and how did he respond and what was the result of all this and what did we learn from it. And I took you up to James and showed you what we learned from the life of Abram. Abraham, after a while, from 12 to 25 of Genesis he lived. He's mentioned in Hebrews and James and Romans. And we learned that Abraham believed God. And we could do that. No matter what the task, no matter what's going on, we can believe God. Abraham believed God. Sarah believed him. 90-year-old woman conceiving a baby. Sarah believed him. And they can believe, we can believe. So that's what we learned. Now Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Even Christ, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. And for you that are just visiting tonight, been here, everything in this book was written before we got here. So we could take this entire 66 book here and put it to work in our lives. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. What a wonderful thing to talk about the Scriptures and see a thing about making Scriptures in the same night. These Scriptures might have hope. We get hope out of the Word of God. We get what we need from the Word of God. We find that this Word is the Lord Jesus Christ in print, and we get what we need from the Lord Jesus. He's all I need. He's all I need. And when you and I look in this Word of God, we've got the answers to every question, even the ones that have not been asked yet. We that have been at this thing a couple of days, we've been asked, ain't no telling how many questions. And a lot of times in the streets and stuff, I'd say, listen, I really don't know the answer to that, but let me tell you what Jesus did. And I'd tell him what Jesus did, try to give him a track. And I said, if you come back out here in a day or two, I'll tell you what that answer to that question is. And I'd go look it up. And then I'd go back out to the street a day or two, especially down in Nollins, and I would endeavor to find them and give them the answer to that. And what it didn't embarrass me not to have the answer. Because it caused me to study. It caused me to get in the book. I'd go home and jump in that book. I mean, head deep and get in that book, try to find the answer to that guy. Street bums and prostitutes and drunks and devils and rich businessmen. Everybody had a question, some it seemed like. And every one of them needed an answer. And I might not have known why Cain married his sister. You'll get that in a minute. You know, where did Cain get his wife? But I knew what Jesus did. And so before they left, they knew what Jesus did. I promise you that. Father, we need some help tonight, Lord. We need you to touch our hearts, our minds, open us to the Word of God, that we, our God, might understand what you're saying. What a great thing it is to even have a Bible. Boy, we heard tonight on there about folks that never had a Bible, Lord. Father, I have talked to people in the streets and places in America that had never heard the name Jesus Christ except in a cuss word. In America, my God. And Father, I've been to the third world countries, Lord, and boy, it's something, Lord. They get a page of the Bible, my Lord. It's like a $1 million gold piece to them. Lord, we take it so for granted. Forgive us of that, our God, please. Help us tonight to understand what we're trying to get as we study another place in the Bible and try to learn something from this man of God that we're looking at tonight. May it, Father, strike our hearts good, and may it, Father, put some good music in our souls, Father, and strengthen us and help us. It's good to see all of these that are here, and I pray you'll bless them for coming, our God. Save the lost and help the saved, we pray, and thank you for Calvary, Lord. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. I want you, if you will, please, to go back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, as we look at a man tonight, in Deuteronomy, we're going to start here in 31, verse 14. And I want you to realize this evening, my dear family, that all over this Bible, there is learning for every one of us. There is something we can learn. Now, we may not be able to apply it. I mean, I don't do Levitical law. You got that? We don't shed blood of the sheep no more and, you know, all that stuff. You know, we don't do that. But there's things that we can learn from back in that Old Testament, all right? It was written down so we could learn some things from it. And as we study the men of the Old Testament, we find a whole lot of similarities to you and I. And we find a whole lot of differences in some of us to them. And it's an amazing thing. Like I told the church last night, Abram didn't have a Bible or a church. He didn't have a pastor. He had God. Amen. And he had to really listen to hear God. Are you listening to him again? He had Sarai's wife. He had Lot, his nephew. He had a daddy. He was in the Ur of the Chaldees with all the idol worshippers. There was words going through his head just like ours. And then he had God's voice. Just like today, I mean, the media's got nothing on the Old Testament over there. I mean, people were talking every place over them days. And we got all kind of words going through our heads and all kinds of stuff going on in our lives, my dear family. But we got to learn how to hear the voice of God. There's one who is real similar to his voice, and he tricks a lot of people. And he turns their minds around to going away from the Word of God and away from holiness. You say, preacher, how do you tell whose voice is who? Well, you measure with holiness. That's how I measured. Now, you measure any way you want to, but you measure with holiness. Now, when we're learning these things of the Word of God, my dear family, he doesn't tell everybody exactly the same thing sometimes. Now, you get this in a minute. You that ain't preaching, we'll look at a verse, and you'll look at a verse, and you'll see something totally different in that. We that preach, we find something there to bring a message out of. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying everyone has a different level of maturity and spirituality. And so you read a verse over there, and you might get a great blessing out of the first part of the verse, and we'll get a blessing out of the second part of the verse. We'll see a principle underneath there holding that verse up, and you'll just see the main words, and we'll both get thrilled about it. Because it is the Word of God. The unadulterated Word of God. It's not got a flaw in it. It's got an error in it. Jim Falora says even the cross T's and the dotted I's are inspired of him. Amen. You see, preacher, what you say? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. There's something about this book that we can't explain to you. It's like salvation. It's like love. We can't explain it to you. But it's there. And you got to get in it yourself, as your pastor tells you. You got to get in it yourself. You got to learn it yourself. You got to walk in it yourself. You say, why? Because we can't walk in your life. I can't walk beside of you day in and day out and say, right, wrong, in, out, up, down, right, black. I can't do that. You got to learn how to live for yourself with God Almighty. Joshua did. Verse 14 of Deuteronomy 31. Let's get started, all right? The Lord said unto Moses, behold, thy days approach that thou must die. God is talking to Moses. Then he makes a very strong statement. Call Joshua. You see that? Call Joshua. Now, you men that know the Bible, you know exactly where I'm going tonight, so you just sit there and pray for those that don't, okay? Call Joshua. Present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went, presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle, the pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of a cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, Thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I'll forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Don't sound too good, does it? And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? I'll surely hide my face in that day, for all the evils which they have shall have wrought in that day are turned unto other gods. Now therefore write ye this song for you. Teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And ain't that some kind of verse? It shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them that this song shall testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed, for I know their imagination which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Joshua? Yeah? You're going to take over this crowd. Joshua, Moses is going to die, and you're taking over. Who is this Joshua guy? He was a boy slave in Egypt. His daddy was a slave in Egypt. He worked and slaved from daylight to dark in Egypt with his daddy, I'm sure, over there. But if you take a real good look at Joshua, there was some character about Joshua. There were some things in Joshua's life that probably his daddy taught him over there being a slave. And I want you to realize tonight, my dear family, of all the hundreds of thousands of men that God Almighty had standing around there, he told Moses, call Joshua. There are times in your life and mine when many folks won't understand what it is that God has called you and I to do. And let me say this to you. Every one of us that are saved by the grace of God are called of God to do something. All right? Every one of us is a missionary. All right? Now, some of us are evangelists. Me and Brother Richard are evangelists, okay? We're circuit riders. We're the modern-day circuit rider, okay? We ride with them, you know, big diesel trucks instead of horses, all right? I got a lot of horsepower out there, not just one, all right? And so we travel around. Some of you are stationary men. You stay right there in your area where you're at. Some of you are married. Some of you got kids to raise. Some of you got kids in school. Some of you have lived in this area all your life, born and raised right here. Some of you have moved here, have been transplanted, if you will, to this area. But every one of us is called of God to serve Him. Every one of us is. Every youngin' that's saved is called of God. Quit giving these kids excuses and say, well, when they grow up. Get off that mess. I told you, you got to build children. You don't raise children, you build children. And when you're building them towards something that would honor God. It may be a God-fearing truck driver. It may be a God-fearing plumber. It may be a God-fearing electrician. Are you listening to me? God Almighty wants a light in every facet of human life so that everybody will get a chance to hear the gospel when it's time. Are you listening? Everybody can't be a preacher. Everybody can't be a missionary to the prisons, all right? Everybody can't be, but everybody can be what God's called them to be. We'll get to that in a minute. Stay with me now. We've got a man named Joshua here. Number one, I want you to see his call to service. Look at Numbers 27. Just stay with me. He said, preacher, what are you doing? What I try to get you to understand. These things are written for our learning. The only way you're going to learn is get a lot of Bible. Amen. Numbers 27, look at the verse over there. Where am I at, Lord? Verse 18. The Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun. Numbers 27:18, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. Here, my family, is the call of Joshua. Here's a man that's called to serve. God tells Moses, go get Joshua the son of Nun, in whom is the Spirit. Now, my Bible has a small S there. Does yours? What are you saying, preacher? He had a good attitude. Joshua had a good attitude. He wasn't like the average youngin' of our day. He had a good attitude, all right? In him was the Spirit. He had a good spirit about him. There's a lot of men in the Bible that had good spirits about them. And a lot of times, my dear family, the devil wants to mess our spirit up so he can mess our ministries up. He wants to mess our attitudes up so that we get all belligerent with each other and with the ministry. He wants to get us to the place where we just don't want to do what God's telling us to do. Joshua had a good spirit about him. The Lord God Almighty recognized that spirit. I remember in other portions of the Bible, there were different ones that recognized. I remember Joseph over there, where they said, listen, he's got a good spirit about him. There's others in that Bible had good spirits about them. You don't have to be such a crab head just because everything's going wrong. Y'all got that? You don't have to let the world, you don't have to watch television and let Como and that bunch bother you. You're a child of the King. You're not a child of Como. All right? Quit letting that bunch of knuckleheads bother you. Do you ever read that Bible, what God Almighty says about them in the Psalms? Huh? Until I went into the sanctuary, boy, it was bad, 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 bad. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I knew what was going on. That crowd's on a slippery slope. They might think they got the world by the tail, but I'm telling you, they ain't got the world by the tail. God Almighty is going to deal with that crowd for long. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, what's your spirit like? Huh? What is your spirit like? What's my spirit like? And on any given day, we can be a bear. Come on now. Especially those of us who don't feel good half the time. We could be a real bear sometimes. It's an awful thing, is it not? I've always wondered, all these many years, 70 years now, I've wondered, why is it a baby cries and squalls when they're tired? Why don't they just shut up and go to sleep? Why do they cry so much? Huh? He's just tired. Well, untired him a little bit. So how'd you fix your kids, preacher? I put them outside, sitting in a chair, and I put their face to the sun. They had to close their eyes. Out they went. That's how you get a crying kid to shut up. Stick him in the sun. He's got to shut them eyes. He ain't going to keep his eyes open. Boom, he's gone. Some of you get up 2 o'clock in the morning, take them for a 50-mile ride. That's crazy. Our spirits sometimes get all messed up because we let the external overrule our internal. We let that which is around us bother what's in us. Joshua wasn't like that. Joshua, my dear family, was a man that had a good spirit about him. He got called to service there in 27:18. Look at 27 again there, same place. Let's go on a little further in the book. Verse 19 says, and set him before Eleazar, the priest, before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. Moses, I want you to give Joshua a charge. I want you to put a little zap on him. Throw a little electricity to him. I want you to charge Joshua. And he said, I want you to do it before the whole congregation, in their sight. I want them to see who I have chosen. There is no secret Christians. There is no incognito Christians, all right? Now, many folks try to be that way. Did you ever see them at Walmart? They're running incognito. How do you know? They dress like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, shop like the world. Are you listening? There ain't no such a thing as an incognito Christian. You can't hide your Christianity unless you're a real good actor. Now, we've got a lot of actors in our day. We've got a lot of folks that are only Christian on Sunday. That's it. That's as far as they go. Once they leave this building, they hang God on the doorknob out there, and they go on and get in their car, and the rest of the week is theirs. What are you saying, brother? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. They was going to give Joshua charge. What was going to happen was this. They wanted the whole world to know, the whole congregation to know who was next in line. Now, he could not, stay with me, love, he could not take Moses' place. That don't happen. But all of us can step up into the next place of service that God has for us. And that's what Joshua did. He did not take Moses' place as a leader. He simply stepped into the next position God wanted for him. The hole that you and I fit in only fits us. There's only one Don Hardman. Ain't you glad of that? There's only one you. And if you and I don't do the job that God's called us to do, if you and I don't take the book and learn what we need to learn so that we can serve our God the way He wants us to do it, most of the time ain't nobody else going to do what we've done. Let's take one instant, if I may, please. Who's going to witness to your family if you don't? I'm back on that again. Who's going to witness to your kids if you and my, mom and daddy, if you won't live for God, who's going to live for God in front of your children? You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm just trying to get you to understand something. You and I have got a very special position, called of God to the service of God and charged by God Almighty to do something in public. In public. Are you listening? And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. Notice these words. Thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him. That all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of the Urim before the Lord. At his word they shall go out. At his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar, the priest, before the congregation, laid his hands upon him, gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. He said, "Where are you? What are you trying to show me, brother? I'm trying to show you the call of God. I'm trying to show you the charge of God on a man. He's got a good spirit about him. He knows how to take orders. He was a slave. He knows how to take orders. It doesn't bother him to be second. Moses is first. God's first. Moses second. He's third. I'll get it right. He's third. Okay? It doesn't bother him to take orders. It grates on some folks' pride when they got to submit to someone else. That's why pastoral authority is such a battleground in our day. Now, some places it ain't no problem at all, and thank God for that. But you've got to travel around like we do. You'll find out, your family, pastoral authority is a real problem in a lot of places. I helped a fellow down in the edge of Virginia one time, and when the Gestapo marched in at 10 o'clock and marched up to the communion table and said, we've decided that you ain't no longer pastor here, and we're going to take a vote and make sure. And they went back through with their little papers and brought them back up and counted them and looked him right in the eye and said, you're no longer pastor of this church. He looked at me and said, what'd I do? Tears running down his face. He said, what'd I do? I said, get your wife, get your kids, and get outside. Get out. He said, but. I said, don't but nothing. You can't pastor these people. Move. He got his wife and kids, got out. I told her, I said, get out in the truck. Hurry up. Made her get out. Then I come down the aisle. Going out the door myself. And I'm pretending now, okay? Fell about right there, Brother Rice says, stood up. That young deacon stood up. Now, I said, you don't want to do what you're thinking about. So I think you ought to sit down. And I mean in a hurry. Because I'm coming through there. With you there or with you not there. And he sat back down. What are you saying? I said, you have just wrote Ichabod on this church. Well, you turn against the man of God, you can mark her down. You are fixing to get a whooping from God Almighty if you live through the day. If you do. We left out of there. Went down to the preacher's house. Three or four families come with us. Sisters said, what do we do? What do we do? I said, I don't know what you're going to do, but you better just stick together. Pastoral authority is getting to be a battleground. There's too many chiefs and not enough Indians in our day. There's too much pride. There's too much arrogance in our day. Joshua was not filled with that. Joshua had a good spirit about him. Joshua was a man who knew where he belonged. You know where you belong? Do you know where I belong? He said, preacher, who's your boss, God Almighty? Preacher, who's after God Almighty, my pastor in Virginia? Preacher, who's after the pastor of Virginia, the pastor in this church this week? Come on now. I've been subjecting that man of God this week here. Amen. He said, preacher, but you're, I ain't nothing. Listen, down in Mississippi where we winter all the time, they just got a nice young pastor down there, 35, 36 year old young man, four or five babies on the ground, young man, first church out. I sit right there all winter long and help him. He said, Brother Don, what do I do? I said, you're the pastor. Figure it out. Think about it. Pray about it. Read about it. It's in the book. Somewhere in the book, it's there. Do it. We was there about a month and a half. They had a little fellowship in his house. He made a terrible mistake. All the deacons were there. All the wives were there. Two, three, four families was there. And he said, Brother Don, I need to know something. You've been around here 30 plus years. What do I do? I said, don't ask me that, brother. Don't ask me what you ought to do. He said, I want to know what to do. I said, okay. You pushed on it. I said, go over here to the wall. And I took him over to the wall. I said, put your left heel against the baseboard. He said, what? I said, put your left heel against the baseboard. Put your right foot just a little out in front of it. Then lean forwards. He's standing there like this against that wall. And he said, what are we doing? I said, son, within the next 2 or 3 months, the wind is going to start blowing contrary to what you're teaching. And I want you prepared. You can never stand upright like this. They'll blow you down. But if you lean into it, you'll be able to withstand the windstorm. It wasn't 3 months, buddy. Here they come, like a bunch of Nazis in there. Come into that office. Jumped his frame. He said, you mean I can't pastor you? They said, no way. He said, then you're in the wrong church. Goodbye. He's coming up on his third year. He's doing a great job. Church is filling up. Folks are learning about Jesus Christ. He said, preacher, what are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you, my dear family, we have been called of God to serve God. We got enough sissies and enough wimpies in the ministry right now, all over everywhere. We need a bunch of men of God who just decided, I love God more than anybody else in the world. Now, we're not talking about being mean or ugly, but we're talking about taking a stand in the day which we live. We're talking about taking a time where we don't compromise and we don't give in every time the wind blows in a different direction. Listen, love, many, please don't take us wrong. Many are more worried about messing up their hair than the ministry they're in. Preacher, man, what is it? Joshua, go get him. Why him? He's got a good spirit. I've seen him. I've watched him since you bring him up here. Put him in front of everybody and set him on their thing. Charge Joshua. Look at Deuteronomy 31 with me. Stay with me now. Stay with me. I'm going to let you out for long, okay? Deuteronomy 31, verse 3. Look at the Bible, please. Deuteronomy 31, 3. I want to see number 3 now. The confidence that God has in Joshua. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. He will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord had said. Verse 7. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto a land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Look at God's confidence in verse 3, and look at Moses' confidence in verse 7. Now let me ask you something. Does anybody get confidence in us? Can anybody trust us to do a job for God Almighty? The Lord God said in verse 3 there that he's going to go over there and he's going to destroy those nations. He's going to do it, and Joshua's going to go over before thee. And then verse 7, Moses is telling, be strong and of a good courage. You're going to go over this with this land. You're going to go over there and do all that. You're going to give these people the land that their fathers have been promised. Remember, God promised this ground to Abraham. This is the national promise. This is the land promise of Abraham that God Almighty gave him. And now Joshua's coming up to fulfill that promise of how many hundreds of years ago? That's a big task. And when Joshua comes up to this task, my dear family, I don't see him backstepping, stuttering, or nothing. Remember when Moses started stuttering and God told him he was going back to Egypt to get the boys out? Joshua ain't stuttering. Joshua ain't backing up. He ain't backing off. He's not dealing with all this stuff. What am I learning about this old Joshua fella? What am I learning here? That's our point. What am I learning about Joshua that I need to know? I live in 2021. I'm not living back here. I'm living in 2021. The situation is similar. There's a job to be done. There's a task to be taken care of. I remember reading about Caleb and Joshua when they was told to go into that land over yonder there and spy it all out and figure that all out. And when he come back, there was 10 of that bunch over there that decided that it ain't possible. They looked at the command and decided it was not possible. Caleb looked at the commander and decided it was nothing but a piece of cake. Our job is we always listen to the command, and it scares the fire out of us. Well, we just ought to listen to the commander and get up and go do what we're supposed to do. And let God Almighty take care of the consequences. All they can do is knock your soul into heaven. I mean, how much more do you want? Huh? Really? Preacher, what if they torture me? What if they do? Better than you and I have been tortured and stayed with God. Better than you and I. You ever read the good books? Better than you and I have been tortured. They just stayed with God. You know, if you don't denounce Christ, we're going to kill you. He said, you can't. I got eternal life. Shoot away, stab away, burn away, cut away, whatever you want to do. It don't matter, never mind. I'm going to heaven when I die. Where are you going? That's what I told that guy who held a gun on me that day. He said, I'm going to kill you dead. I said, you can't. My God's promised me eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He suffered and bled and died so I would never have to die and go to hell. I'm going to heaven when I die. Where are you going? He dropped that gun and walked away. Was you scared? Sure as you're living, I was scared. Come on, I'm not stupid. I'm not afraid to die. It's just that 15, 20 minutes before when you're hurting so bad. That's all I don't want to deal with that. Amen. Joshua is a man who is given a task to do, and he ain't backing up off of it. I need to learn something off of Joshua. I see he's called. I see he's charged. I see they got confidence in him. Go to Joshua chapter 1 with me. Let's look at Joshua himself now for a second, and let's see what we can figure out about him. Is he flipping in his mind? Is he twisted in his thinking? Is he bothered about what's going on and what's coming to pass? Or does he have any concentration about him? Are we not living in a world, my dear family, that endeavors to destroy our concentration? Our focus anymore seems to be twisted in so many areas. We don't know which way to turn a lot of times. Listen to me, gang, we become a James subject. You know what that is? A double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. We don't know which way to go. We don't know which way to do. The Lord God Almighty said, try the spirits of wolves. Spend 6, 8, 10, 15, 3 years, 25 years figuring out what the Spirit says. But God done wrote it down. God done wrote it down. The Lord God Almighty wrote it down in that Bible. Every jot and tittle of that Bible is inspired by the Holy Ghost. And then when them human pencils wrote down that Bible, God knew you and I was going to come along one of these days. And He knew that we was going to get confused. And He's not the author of that confusion. And He knew you and I was going to get confused about some things. Now, we all get confused periodically, but the question is, how long do you stay confused? I know people in the ministry have been confused for years, Brother Fenton. They hop, hip, jump. I'm glad to finally find their niche. So, preacher, it ain't that easy to find where you're supposed to be. Oh, yes, it is. All you got to do is get in the book. Amen. These things are written for our learning. You say, preacher, I want to be a pastor. Well, good. You know any good ones? That's what I tell the boys. You know any good pastors? Yeah, my pastor's a great man. I said, then get in his back pocket. Stay there 5 years. Do everything he tells you to do. And never say a word against it. And when he tells you you're ready to go out there, then get out there and get her done. Brother Don, I want to be an evangelist like you. No, you don't. Yeah, I do. I want to be an evangelist like you. I said, well, there ain't no problem. I said, get you a truck, get you a camper to live in, because a lot of the churches we go to are so small they can't afford an offering. There ain't no way they can afford a motel, so you better have a bed to sleep in. Then you better find you some fuel money, because I ain't raising you. You know any good evangelists? Yeah. Well, then get your truck, get your trailer, get you some money, and follow him around for 5 years and wash his truck and wash his trailer, change his tires. Come on now, shine his boots. Y'all ever know the old man of God that was out of Jack House's church, old Joe Boyd? Old Brother Joe would take a whole busload of boys out of college every summer. Hey, I knew some of them fellas when they was book carriers for Brother Joe. I knew some of them guys, and all they did was shine the bus every time they stopped. I'm talking about famous men today. I know them when they was back in the 70s. He said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that all the general would say, go wash the bus. And all them boys would jump out and wash that bus. Carry all the books in there and put them on the table. They carry all the books there. Shine my boots. Pray while I'm preaching. And then boys did exactly what they was told. Now look where they're at. Look where Dennis Carl's at now. Look where some of them guys are at now. What are they doing? They learn like Joshua learned. Take orders and do right. God will elevate you when it's time. Joshua in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. How long has it been since 27 of Numbers to here? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now, therefore, arise. See, God Almighty is the only one who knows when we're ready. Gary Lutrick waited 18 years for Jack Wood to turn him loose. 18 years. Brother Jack, I believe it's time. Jack said, you ain't ready yet, boy. Sit down. Brother Jack, I believe it's time for me to hit that road in evangelism. Brother Jack said, you ain't old enough yet. Sit down. 18 years. Finally, Brother Gary just quit asking him. He said, I guess I'm going to stay right here in the church all my life. Brother Jack walked up to him today and said, it's time for you to hit the road, son. Get it. Gary's been evangelism ever since. God knows. And God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us through the book. These things are written for our learning. Every place the sole of your foot should tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses. And from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with thee. I'll not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Preacher, why are you reading so much Bible? Because this is where we learn. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Stay with me. You all know this. Come on, this ain't nothing new. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper with it soever thou goest. This book of the law. This book of the law. These things are written for our learning. This book of the law. Joshua, you got a big job ahead of you, son. You ain't taking Moses' place, but I'm stepping you up in a new position. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein when it's time to preach. That's what most folk do. Cramming on Saturday night. I gotta get 3 messages ready for, man, I'll just talk Uncle John into preaching Sunday school and I'll just have 2 messages to preach tomorrow. Oh man, I got a missionary tomorrow night. Woo! I only gotta put 1 message together. Lord, give me a message. Preacher, you being funny? No, I'm being practical. I've seen them. I've been with them. So, Brother Don, we just ain't got time to study day in and day out. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Meditate. Didn't say study, did it? The lost art of the Baptist preacher is to get something from the book and then sit there and chew on it like a cow chewing a cud till you get all the goodies out of it, till you figure out what God's trying to say and why. And God, why are you beating the devil out of me? He said, because you're going to church in the morning and beat the devil out of them. God, why are you explaining this to me? Because you need to go to church in the morning and explain it to them. Lord, I don't know anybody in my church that's got this problem. You preach what I tell you to preach, son. You're going to find out in the morning. Come on, am I right about it, fellas? We preach something. We say, it don't fit our church, God. It don't fit our church. God, that message ain't going to deal with this. Then we have a song service. And it's chandelier hanging time. But I mean, footprints on the walls and ceiling. We're shouting and praising God. And you got a high skin and neck breaking message to come. And you're thinking, oh man, I've done picked the wrong message. I need to preach on the glory of God or the love of Jesus or something. And somebody in there needs that skinning. See, the Holy Ghost has to be in charge of us or we're going to blow it sky high. We ain't able. We are not capable. Fellas, come on, you're God enough. You know you ain't able or you ain't capable enough. I am not capable of preaching this book. If the Holy One don't bring these words out and give something to your soul and spirit, I'm just blowing in the wind. Meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Watch this. Joshua said, I ain't doing it. I ain't going. I ain't going to preach it. I ain't going to say that. No, sir, Rebob. I want the thing to be smooth and fine. I don't want no wrinkles. I don't want no waves. I don't want brother so-and-so to be mad because he's the biggest giver in the church. I ain't doing that. That ain't what Joshua did. Joshua commanded the officers of the people saying, pass through the host. Now I want to give you the point. Here we come. Ready? It's time to go home. Going to come back in the morning at 9 o'clock. So get home and get to bed. Don't sit there and watch that television till midnight, okay? Go to bed. Get some rest. Here's a man that knew the future. Yet he didn't shirk from it. Here's a man that knew as soon as Moses died and he took over that Israel was going to rebel and turn against God Almighty. He knew that. I done read it to you. Yet he stood right there. I need to learn something from Joshua. What do I need to learn from Joshua? I need to realize I'm called to service. I need to realize that I've been charged by the Holy Ghost of God to do a job. I got to have some confidence. And my confidence is not arrogance. My confidence in my God shows others to maybe have some confidence in me. And then number four, I need to be concentrated on what I am supposed to do. Do you loved ones realize that if none of you would have showed up tonight, I'd have still preached? Do you understand that? I have preached to one or two. I went clean to Nashua, New Hampshire, preached to the pastor and his wife and his three-year-old baby girl. For the 6 months before I got there, he had blowed that church all apart. When I got there, he was sick with the flu. When I knocked on the door, his wife answered the door without much clothes on. I said, get your clothes on, woman. I turned around and went back to the car. I went inside there. He said, I need you to preach today. I said, I'll be glad to do it. He had lost his building. He was in a room in the YMCA. And when we got there at 10 o'clock, his wife, his baby, and a little baby in a bucket, he said, Brother Don, that's all there is. Preach. And I did. I put the only $5 in the offering at the 11 o'clock service. That's all was there. I did the exact same thing. Put the extra $5 in the offering. Had a $10 offering that day. I put both fives in. We went and worked the streets all afternoon. Went back there that night and a visitor from upstairs, my old big mouth, he heard me from three floors up. He came down to see what all the noise was. Amen. All the way in Nashua, New Hampshire. I'd have preached if none of you showed up tonight. Why? Because that's what God does. There are times in your life when you say, well, what's the sense? The sense is God said, do it. That's the sense. Stay with me now. I'm fixing to close up. What did I learn? Let me show it to you. Three pieces of Bible will go to house, I promise. Genesis 18. Let me show you what I learned from Joshua. These things are written for our learning. I learned something from Joshua. Genesis 18:14. This is not Joshua, but this is Sarah and Abram. And the verse says in 18:14 Genesis, is anything too hard for the Lord? But that's all I got to say. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, he's trying to tell Abram and Sarah that they're fixing to have a baby. She's 90 years old. He's 99. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Remember, when he said that, Sarah laughed. Wouldn't you? Go with me, if you will, please, to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. I'm talking about what I learned from Joshua. It's all over this book, family. Jeremiah 32. This is what the Bible says in verse 16 to 19. Now, when I delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah. There's nothing too hard for God. Sarah. You're going to have a baby. Sure. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? 1 John, chapter 5. 1 John 5. Come on. Come on. 1 John 5. First five verses. 1 John 5. What did I learn from Joshua's life? He was called. He was charged. He was confident. God was confident. Moses was confident. He was concentrated. So what did I learn from it? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Is anything too hard for the Lord? For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Is there anything too hard for God? Now, it may be too hard for me and you, but it ain't too hard for him. There was no way under the sun Joshua was going to take over that nation and do what God told him to do. There was no way that would happen. But with God, all things are possible. Come on now. Is there anything too hard for God? Is the prison ministry too hard for God? But it's hard for you. Huh? How about you pastors? Toughest job in the world is pastoring people. My preacher said the ministry would be a piece of cake if it wasn't for people. Is there anything too hard for pastoring for God? That's tough for you some days, ain't it? Your heart breaks. There ain't no money. Everybody's mad. Two kids beat each other in the nursery. The mothers are screaming. Come on now. But not for God. God can handle it all. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that? Yes. Now look in your Bible. Verse 1, whosoever believeth. Verse 5, who is he that overcometh? But verse 4 I want to focus on and I'm done. Whatsoever is born of God. The task, the ministry, the job, the commandment that God has assigned to us Boy, thank you, Lord. The job, the task, the ministry that has been assigned to us, born of God, overcometh the world. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That jail ministry, it's a big one. But that's what God's appointed for me to do. And that ministry is going to overcome the world that's in there. This church I pastor, I'm talking for you guys. This pastorate is going to overcome the worldliness of our people. This evangelism, this itinerant running all the time, and I mean, it's like spending money that ain't never going to be there again. I mean, it's just constantly spending. Fuel prices and all the different things. This ministry, this evangelism, whatsoever is born of God, all that God's appointed for me to do, is going to overcome this world. I'm going to beat this world. I'm going to overdo this world. I'm going to win this thing like Joshua won it back there when God gave him Israel. I'm going to win this one. Hey, I can't raise these kids and this wife, but this marriage I have and this fatherhood that I have is going to overcome the world. And I'm going to beat the world away from my family. And I'm going to keep the world away from my family. And I'm going to make it in this thing. And I'm going to do what my God's told me to do by His grace and by His power. And I'm going to tell you right now, I am going to overcome all the obstacles that's in my life. Why? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. Joshua followed God and he led Israel into the promised land, split it up in its chunks, handed it to them, and then died at 110 years old of success. Why? Because he meditated on what Moses wrote down, in and out and up and down and day after day. Come on, baby, I'll preach all night. In and out and up and down. I'm full tonight. I feel like preaching about 20 hours. I want you to realize something. There ain't a task that God cannot handle. Are you willing to work with Him? We are laborers together with Him, you know. But Brother Don, it's so hard. Then hand it to Him and say, God, take care of the light work. Will you please? I'm just going to follow you today. You know what some of us need to do? Get out from under the steering wheel, get in the back seat. And be the overcomer that God made out of you when He saved you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.